So good morning again on this fourth day of God's Feast of Tabernacles. Fourth day already. And wow, it just goes by. It just seems like it takes forever to get here. And then when you get here, it's just boom, boom, and you're going back home. But it's good to see everyone here today at God's Feast of Tabernacles. Hope everyone's enjoying everything down here, all the foods you could possibly want to eat. Beautiful scenery, the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, it looks like we might have a little rain from here on out, maybe. Maybe a little bit. I don't think it's going to get too bad, but never know. It's always nice to see everyone here. People we don't see every week, you know, just get to see every now and then. It's great. And, you know, it seems kind of strange to people out there if we told them that we're all down here the same reason. And the reason is to celebrate a government. And that's the title of this message is God's Government on Earth. And this is part one. I'll finish up part two with the next message. And what would seem strange to them, I imagine, is we're celebrating a government that's not here yet. We don't have it yet. But yet, when it does get here, you know, the whole world will be under it. Everyone, every nation, all people on earth. And we're celebrating that time. And you know, that would sound pretty strange to them. And I guess you could say that does sound kind of far-fetched if you don't have understanding. And we're going to hear more about government. Of course, I'll follow up on this and you know, all the sermons you hear down here, it's basically about government, because that's why we're here. It's about God's government. It's what it's all about. And this coming government won't be anything like the people of this world, the people out there. It'll be nothing like they've ever seen before. It'll be very different from what they're used to. And it'll be different from what anyone's used to. It'll be different to... Well, not different from what we're used to. We got a taste of it, you know, every time we come to services, Sabbath services, we get a taste of it. But it's still, you know, just hard to imagine when it's fully implemented how different, you know, it's going to be from what the world is. And why will it be different than what we already have on earth? And, you know, for us, that's a simple question. Because we study the government of God every week, every Sabbath, every holy day. That's what we study. And have you ever looked at it like that before? That, you know, when we're sitting here, Sabbath services in class, we're studying the government of God. We're all enrolled in a course in the study of government. The soon coming kingdom of God will be a worldwide government. So what is government? What's the definition of a government? The definition is the system used for controlling a group of people. And as we've heard over and over again over the years, a government executes a set of laws, or what you could call rules or even guidelines, for people to live by in order to live and have prosperous, happy lives. And if we didn't have these rules, then there would be nothing but complete anarchy, kind of thing we see going on today, especially anything you see on the news today. Turn it on, anarchy. And why are these things happening that we see going on today with the rioting, burning down of businesses, buildings, killing, just destruction? And it's because the people don't want government. They don't want to live by rules. And not all, but a growing number of people in this nation and around the world, they want anarchy instead of peace. And that sounds crazy. You just think about that. That people want complete chaos and anarchy. But, again, you just watch the news and it won't take you long to see it. Why would they want this anarchy? And the reason is because it gives a few people complete control over the lives of many people. And think of the warlords in some of the places in Africa. You know, if you've ever watched documentaries about that area of the world, you've seen this complete chaos and anarchy in some of those places. And the warlords that cause these things, they have complete power and control over a lot of poor, sickly, malnourished, defenseless people. While they, the warlords, they live like kings. They have all of the money, all of the food, and all of the power. And it's hard to imagine, but a lot of people in this nation would love to have that kind of power and control. And that's what we see going on. Certain people are trying and have been trying for a long time now to move this country in that direction. Because there's a lot of money and power to be had in this nation. And what's the driving force behind this? It's greed. It's just pure greed. Men have a lot of greed. And what is greed? It's sin. And, of course, sin is influenced by Satan. That's why God tells us to not have greed in our hearts, because it's a way for Satan to destroy us. Greed will destroy us. So all this anarchy and destruction that we see going on every day, it has nothing to do with protesting for human rights. It's conducted and perpetrated by Satan for the sole purpose of destroying this nation and all of its people. And we were all warned about these things years and years ago, and we see it happening right now. And we see things happening that we've never seen before. People are actually moving to abolish the police in this nation. Can you believe that? That's crazy. The police enforce laws that are meant to protect and govern the people. And what would happen with no enforcement of laws? Well, we see it every day with all the rioting and looting, burning, murdering, all these things going on that you see every day on TV. But without government and laws, these things will be happening all over the entire nation instead of just a few certain cities like we see today. Anarchy, the product of Satan, trying to destroy this nation. And this is why government is important. People have to be controlled. There has to be a set of guidelines for people to live by. And if there's not, then Satan will infiltrate and destroy. But there has to be the right kind of government in order to prosper as a people and a nation. And that's the way God intended it to be from the very beginning. Because God is the original inventor of government. But in this world today, there is no government that is the correct form of government. And why is that? Because the governments that we see today, they're corrupt. And why are they corrupt? Because they come from the product of man. And man cannot create his own government without the government actually eventually decaying to the point of collapse. And why is that? It's because the spirit of man that's inside of him. Spirit of man, of course, is carnal, easily influenced by Satan. So what you end up with is a government in today's world being driven by and controlled by Satan. Man thinks he controls it, but really he don't. Satan is in complete control of the governments of this world. And again, we see it every day. It's not hard to see. You'll turn to 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And I think the NIV version describes it a little better. It says, we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And that's exactly what we see going on today. Satan controlling the people of the world. And with that, along with that, he controls the governments of the nations of the world. And that's exactly why we're here today. At God's Feast of Tabernacles, because there will come a time when the governments of this world will end, and along with that, the ruling of Satan will also come to an end. And all these things that we see going on in the world, this destruction, this chaos, all that's going to come to an end. But until that day comes, we need to continue to prepare ourselves. We need to keep learning. So today, I'm going to go into look into government, and more specifically, God's government. God's church is a model of the government of God on this earth today. Have you ever really thought about that? God's church is a model of the government of God. We represent a coming government that is a perfect government, not like we see in the world today. Perfect government that will not be ran by men, because man being influenced by Satan is a reason why the world is in the shape that it's in today. Long before God created Adam, God placed Lucifer, the archangel, on this earth to rule over all the earth. I think we've even heard some of that already. And he was there to enforce the government of God on this earth and God's holy law. But then, of course, iniquity was found in Lucifer. He became Satan, the adversary. And Satan rejected God's laws and God's government. Satan did away with God's government on earth. And again, that's what we see today. Satan being the ruler of this world, still sitting on the throne on this earth, and the world being under the government of him, Satan. And that in itself is one reason why we don't get involved with the politics of the world, because it's really Satan's politics. It's good to stay as far away from that as we can, even though it's hard to, you know, you think you need to do something, but, you know, we can't. But God's government still existed. God's government was never destroyed. God chose a people, and with those people, he started his church, which would learn God's way of life. And to be ruled by God, being under God's government, rejecting Satan's government. And those chosen people would be the first fruits in the God's kingdom. The government of God, and again, that's why we're here today, we're celebrating when that time comes. And you know Satan has to really despise the Feast of Tabernacles, because we're celebrating when his rule is going to end and God's rule on earth begins. He has to just despise us being here. Satan will be replaced as ruler of this earth. God gave that opportunity to Adam. God gave him a chance to replace Satan as ruler, to restore God's government on this earth. But then what happened? Adam couldn't resist Satan's influences, his lies. And Adam failed miserably. Adam chose the get way of life instead of the give way of life. And he lost the opportunity to restore God's government on this earth. So what did God do? He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth as flesh and blood, being fully human and fully God. And he was the only human to ever be, to ever fully resist Satan. He completely resisted Satan. And he followed God's laws perfectly, without sin, without blot. He resisted and conquered Satan. And by doing so, when he done that, he qualified to restore the government of God on earth. And Jesus would teach God's government to the people that God chose and called out of this world, all of us over through the years. as first fruits. And then eventually at his return, he's going to teach the entire world. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And these are scriptures we hear a lot. This is nothing new. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of God, will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the scripture that the little girl reads in the video. Jesus Christ, with the help of the first fruits, all of us will fully enforce the government of God on this earth. So to go back to the question, what is government? Well, there are three main divisions of government. You have legislative, executive, and judicial. That's the three main divisions. And I'm going to go into more detail about these three main divisions. I won't get it all in this one, but I'll get the rest of them in the follow-up message. Since we're in Isaiah, go to chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 22. For the Eternal is our judge, the Eternal is our lawgiver, the Eternal is our king, he will save us. So there is one lawgiver or lawmaker, and that is God the Father. You know, man tries to make his own laws. Have you ever been in a lawyer's office? And I'm sure all of us has been in a lawyer's office. They have massive, massive libraries of books just on laws. And I looked this up when I was writing this. The current estimate is there's 15 to 50,000 federal laws in the United States. And that's not including state and local laws. But nobody knows for sure because there's so many of them. That's just an estimate. Nobody knows for sure how many exactly. And thousands more laws are created every year. And not to mention 10 to 300,000 regulations that can be enforced criminally. And all these are just estimates, again, because no one knows for sure. There's so many, they don't know for sure. And they create more every year. And all these laws and regulations, and look at the world. You know, has it helped? You think any of these laws has helped anything? Probably some, maybe a few, but they're not perfect. They're absolutely not perfect. Take a look at the criminal justice system. It's a complete wreck. Nothing that man has ever devised has worked like it is intended to. Nothing. But God's laws are perfect, and they do work. They are the only laws that work. And men absolutely hate them. They hate God's laws and they try to find any way that they can to get rid of them. And ironically enough, God's laws provide the one thing that all mankind has struggled to find since the beginning of time. The way to true happiness. And man can't get rid of them fast enough. Even in the world's churches, they teach people to hate God's laws. And they have convinced people that to keep God's laws is to sin. And people believe it. But then there are people in the churches, and maybe even some in God's church, who want to create their own laws and add their own ideas to God's laws. And I guess they think that God's laws are just not perfect enough. And if you don't abide by their laws, these men trying to create their own laws, as you would the same as God's laws, then you're sinning against God and you've lost your salvation. Go to Gehenna. And what scripture did we just read? God is the only lawgiver. No man can create a perfect, righteous law but God only. So what is law? As we read, God is the only lawgiver, but what is the law that He gives? Here's the definition of law. Law is a rule, usually made by a government, that is used to order the way in which a society behaves. Law is a rule, a guideline. But a rule and a guideline for what? Proverbs chapter 29. A law and a guideline for what? Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. And I think we've already read this scripture two times since we've been here. Happy is he who keeps the law. God's laws are a path, a guideline to true happiness. And that's one thing that Satan has clouded in the mind of man. What true happiness is. Man has no idea. They think that everything and under the sun that they can come up with is happiness. Look at the drug epidemic in the world. And not only here, but in the whole world. Look at the alcoholism that drives the world. Look at what the world says is entertainment. Just flip through the channels of your TV. And these are just a few things. There are many things that cause heartache and pain and even complete self-destruction that people think makes them happy. And the only one that that makes happy, any of that makes happy, is Satan. Because those things do nothing but destroy people, future potential God beings. But God's laws are the only path to real, true happiness. The people of the world won't realize that until they're forced to keep God's laws at the return of Jesus Christ. How long will it take them to realize that fact? Maybe 1,000 years? Psalms 119 and verse 18. Still talking about law. Psalms 119. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. God's laws will create wondrous things that will happen. Can you imagine how wondrous it'll be when there's no more war? No more hunger? No more abortions? No more disease? No more sickness? No more hunger? No more cancer? And it will be because there will be no more people living by their own laws, which is no law. They will be living by God's laws, the only true and righteous law. Verse 77 of Psalm 119. Verse 77, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. God's laws are pure delight. There is no delight in the world today. Only the things that people have been convinced of by Satan are what they think delight is. When God's government rules on this earth, people will finally see what delight is. And that scripture also says that I may live. People will see that the only way to life is to live by God's laws under His government. There is no life in this current world. Sure, we're born, we live a life for a short period of time, and then we die. And what kind of life did we really have while we were alive on this earth? And not only us, because many people do live good lives here in the United States, But look at the other nations, the third world country nations. And, you know, those things most of us have only seen on TV. Unless, you know, you're in the Navy, you've seen a lot of that stuff. What kind of life do they live? Many of their lives are short, painful, full of misery, many even starving to death. And people don't have any idea on what to do to fix these things. Because, you know, as we've heard a lot, God doesn't really exist and His laws are just some things that someone somewhere in the Middle East thousands of years ago made up in order to make people miserable. God's laws are the only way to life and eventually eternal life. Verse 92, still in Psalms 119, verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. And that's exactly why people are perishing in their unhappy lives today, because they don't believe in God or His laws. And the people out there in the world who claim to be followers of God and Jesus Christ, a lot of them despise God's laws and do everything in their power that they can do to do away with them. You tell someone in a worldly church that you keep God's laws, and they'll tell you you're a sinner. You ever had that happen? I have. They think you're crazy for keeping God's laws. And people can't figure out why they're so unhappy in this world. They just can't figure it out. Let's look at the politicians. Many of them think that in order to fix all the world's problems and to make everyone happy, we have to abolish any kind of moral or law that prohibits someone from hurting someone else. And they actually believe that. And that's ridiculous. They think that just believing in God is hurting everyone else. And someday they'll learn why the things that's been happening today's world have been happening, and they're going to be completely shocked. Verse 142 of Psalm 119. Over a page. Verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. God's laws are truth, and they're the only truth. The world today, they have no truth. They hate truth. Even in the churches of the world, they have no truth. They think they do. They claim they do. But where's their truth come from? It doesn't come from the Bible. It doesn't come from God. It comes from their own mind and Satan. About 300 years after the death of Christ, Constantine made it a law that anyone who follows the truth of God and keeps the seventh day of the week holy would be put to death. A death sentence for obeying God's laws. And he proclaimed that Sunday would now be the correct and only time to worship God. Now, where in the world did he get that? Did he get that from the Bible? And we all know the answer to that is no. It's just not in there, regardless of what churches of the world say or think. You're not going to find it. And we also know that it can be easily proven that he got that ideology from the pagans, whose time to worship was on guess which day? Sunday, first day of the week. And they murdered and killed many Christians for obeying what God said to do instead of what man said to do. And you ask someone from a worldly church why they keep Sunday instead of the seventh day of the week, and they're going to tell you that it was changed. And if you ask them for a scriptural proof, they're going to send you to a couple of scriptures that have absolutely nothing to do with anything. One of those scriptures is Revelation 1 and verse 10, where it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And they say, well, see there? It's talking about Sunday. I had a Baptist preacher tell me that one day, and I thought, what's he talking about? That's not what that's talking about at all. But he really thought that that's what it was saying. He thought that it said John had a dream on a Sunday. And that's what they think. Without even wondering, what difference would it make what day John was having a dream on? It's just simply a reason that the world came up with, because there's nothing in the Word of God that says anyone changed God's holy day of rest and worship to another day of the week other than what God said it was. It's just not there, and they know it's not there. It's just simply not truth. And again, it came from the mind of man and not God. And one more thing I want to add to this. I see some of this, and I'm sure all of you have too, going on in God's church. Not even men or leaders in God's church can create holy laws. Mr. Armstrong, he didn't create his own laws. A lot of people accused him of doing just that, but what he did was he showed us from the Bible and taught us God's laws. He taught us to keep God's laws. He did not create his own laws. And there are possibly some leaders in God's church that think they have an exclusive right to create laws for people to obey in addition to God's laws. And they'll tell you, of course, if you don't obey them, you're turning your back on God. You're going to lose your salvation. You see, the problem with men is that they like to think very highly of themselves. It's usually the ones that will tell you that their group is the only true church of God. They like to put themselves way up on a pedestal, way up above everyone else so they can look down and lord over people. Keep them in fear like they like to have people to follow them and hang on every word that they say. In other words, men like to give themselves power. Mr. Armstrong didn't give himself power. God called him for a specific job, and he did it. And I would beware of the men who want the power and set up for themselves a position of power. God's people follow Jesus Christ and God the Father and no man. Beware of the men who say that you have to follow God and them. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God's laws are a light. They are a light in the darkness of this evil world. What else does the Bible say about light? If you'll turn over to John chapter 1 and verse 4. And I think, yeah, you don't have to keep your finger there. John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice that him is capitalized as talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is life, as is God's laws, his commandments. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shines in the darkness. And what else is darkness? The world. The whole world is darkness. Everything going on in the world today is complete darkness. And why is that? Because of all the evil things we see going on in the world around us, inspired by Satan. Darkness. And it's very easy to see that. Now the people out there can't see it. They're blinded. They think that the current world is fabulous. It's fantastic. They think they couldn't be happier. While at the same time, they're being destroyed. But we see it, God's people. We see it. And the darkness does not comprehend the light. The world does not comprehend the things of God. They think they do, but in reality, they're just comprehending what man has created. More darkness. And they can't see the light. They can't see the real Jesus Christ. And again, they think they do, but they can only see the Jesus Christ that they created themselves in their own mind. When the time comes for Jesus Christ to reveal himself to the world, they're going to be shocked. They're going to be blown away because they're not going to recognize him. They'll have to learn who he really is. And that's going to be part of our job. We're going to be there to help with that learning process. You find yourself a Baptist preacher and try to tell him about the real Jesus Christ of the Bible and the laws of God that he kept and commanded us to keep, and see what happens. And probably everyone in here has done that at one time or another. You're not going to be talking to him very long because the world rejects the real Jesus Christ. They reject the light, just like they did when they crucified him. They rejected him. When they martyred the saints, they rejected them too. And we're told we'll be rejected because we follow God. They do not comprehend the light yet, but they will begin to when the darkness is removed from the world. The Day of Atonement that we celebrated a week or so back, that's what that holy day is all about, removing the darkness, not only from the world, but the whole universe. And when that darkness is removed, then the world will have a chance to comprehend the light. Jesus Christ, along with God's laws and his way of life. And this will be the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles for the whole world. And we're celebrating that time right now. And who will be there to help them along? First fruits. You and me, God's people. I'm going to have to wrap this up. I'm trying to find a good stopping point. Okay, John chapter 1, and then I'm going to quit. John chapter 1, starting in verse 6. We may already be there. There was a man sent from God. Yeah. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear the witness of the light, Jesus Christ, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus Christ. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So this is saying that Jesus Christ is the true light. It also says that God's laws are also a light. So that would also mean that God's laws are holy, right?